Real quick, are we officially in a better quarterback position than the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, right now, yes.
What if Aaron Rodgers comes
100%.
Back? 100%. Do you believe that firmly in Aaron Rodgers?
I do not believe in Aaron Rodgers at all.
All right.
But at least they would have clarity. Like, they would know, okay, Aaron's our starter week one. That instantly then puts their situation better than ours. Even if you don't think he's that good, because we are going to go through this these battles, and now we're going to have to rely on evaluations, and we're not even privy to what the meetings are like and the whiteboard sessions. Like, we're not privy to any of that. We're only going to see some stuff. Like, I do think it's pretty ridiculous so far that social media has been torn on how accurate the reporting of catches in rookie minicamp. Like, the guys, none of that stuff matters. That is not how we're deciding who's the better quarterback. So to sit there and lose sleep over, wait, that media person had it wrong because I saw two catches on this other reporter's side. Guys, none of that matters. You should know that by now. We've seen guys ball out in preseason, and none of that mattered. You didn't even face a pass rush in rookie minicamp, so that's dumb to lose sleep over any of that. Can we all admit that?
Yeah, but that's what happens when you have engagement farming and SEO. I mean, good God, I mean, you're talking about these Twitter accounts. I'm sorry, they make money by the interactions that they get, do they not?
Yeah.
Do you not make more money? So if I put that Travis Hunter is struggling in camp, okay, I guess I paid the rent for the month.
By the way, so far, the trade looks good.
Well, I'm glad here, less than a month after the draft, the trade looks good.
I saw three highlights pieced together. I mean, couldn't even get out of his route. So what a joke and what a great trade by Andrew.
Well, you know, they say it. Games are won in the offseason.
I've totally flipped in the last 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, this right now, like, the Steelers, they'll just know, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to be our quarterback. We're not going to have to waste time on any of that. We're not going to get 1,000 questions about Mason Rudolph. In our case, we aren't. It is going to be a battle. I mean, we just took a call at the end of the last segment where, and it wasn't the first one today. We've had three of these, which is just start Shador.
No.
So we're just going to start the guy that was taken behind the other guy that they overdrafted. Like, it just shows you.
Oh, man, this is married with children, Tone, because I would have been having a fight with you about this 6 years ago. I'd have had a fist fight with you about this years ago. You know that. Because I don't think I've changed. Like, I don't believe in just starting a guy just because you got to see what he has to see. I think that he really needs to go. And, yes, a coach can be stuck in his ways, but I think that if it's an honest, fair evaluation, the quarterback, if it's number one overall, it's number one overall. He should be able to go out there and take the job.
McKinney,
but
why?
Damn it, they should have to earn the job. I'm not just starting Shador to start Shador.
You wouldn't start either of them just to start him. But my question is,
or Dylan Gabriel.
Why is it Shador? Why isn't it the guy they drafted and believed in more?
Because they don't believe in that guy. It was an. Frankly,
but what about the Browns?
I know that. I'm just explaining how a fan feels because I know it's how I felt.
Do the Browns not have, going into the draft, did they not have Dylan Gabriel ahead on their draft board of Shador Sanders?
Yes.
So what's changed?
Nothing, I would imagine.
So if they had him higher on the draft board, then they actually drafted him, then they waited, then they let other picks go by, and then they took Shador. Tell me what has changed to believe that the organization believes in Shador Sanders today more than Dylan Gabriel. What has changed?
Probably nothing.
So why aren't people calling and saying, they obviously believe in Dylan Gabriel more, just start Dylan Gabriel?
Because I don't think they believe in Dylan Gabriel. I think they'd rather believe Shador. Like, they know more, and they don't know as much about Dylan Gabriel. Who knows as much about Dylan Gabriel?
It's because those fans heard first round grade, number two overall.
Yes,
that's why.
Yes, but
that
is
why.
But they argued about him. They talked about him. So you feel you know something. You know in your heart, and it's like, okay, because there's people who definitely do not like Shador Sanders, and they tweeted me every single day that we're wasting our time with this guy. I got a fan who says he's not coming back until he's gone. All right, like Watson stuff. I mean, people get nuts. And then this is a longtime listener, this guy tweeting at me. They are familiar with Shador. So there will be people who go, yep, I want him to start. He should start. He should get every opportunity. Even the people who don't like him, yeah, go ahead and start him. Just so they can prove that he doesn't have anything. Dylan Gabriel, no one really had. I'm sure Mary Kay wrote something there somewhere. But, I mean, my God, they went and they visited him before they went and visited Shador Sanders. we thought it was a due diligence thing, or they were looking at somebody else and go, no, they were looking at Dylan Gabriel. We don't know much about Dylan Gabriel because none of us took him seriously that he was going to go to the Cleveland Browns. None of us took him seriously. He's 5'10". He's got a strong arm. Other than that, there's not a whole lot that I can say that are glowing things about Dylan Gabriel and can make an impassioned plea. No one bought his jersey on the station to try to convince people that we needed to take Dylan Gabriel. So they don't know what it is, so they just don't even think that he has what it is. And when you just hear, hey, he's not necessarily the biggest guy, I don't know if he can withstand the punishment of big dudes from the NFL, which I frankly don't, then yeah, they'd rather just go, hey, let's do Shedeur Sanders first, see what he's got anything, and then they'd rather go to Dylan Gabriel. The entire concept of that is something I don't agree with. Again, if you wanted to do it, even if you got rid of Joe Flacco to somebody else because you were going to get rid of the 40-year-old quarterback, fine. If you're going to do that, okay. It should still be Kenny Pickett because of the experience, and one of the two other guys has to go and take that job from him. Not just putting him out there because we have to see what we get. They've seen what they have. They see what they have in him. And there's been plenty of situations where guys have been drafted in their first rookie year. They walk out there to the practice field. They start throwing the ball around. Usually this happens when they're wearing the red jerseys and they're actually like, they got pads on and stuff. And they go, oh, God, we've made a terrible mistake. We've made a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake. I think it happened to the kid out of Arkansas a few years ago. They took in the fourth round with the Raiders. And they cut him after camp because it's like, yep, we made another Raider mistake. There it is. They know. But usually it's, hey, we're going to see if this guy has a chance, if he has anything. But damn it, you have to go out there. You have to earn that job. Earn it. Take it away from the incumbent. Why? Practice. Preparation. Being ready to go. Showing that you have an upside that the other guy hasn't. And if Shedeur Sanders is still a first-round talent or a second-round talent, then he should be able to shine through. But I got to tell you, I don't know if Dylan Gabriel is going to be able to do that. That is full-on Kevin Stefanski faith. And that comes down to whether or not you have a bunch of faith in Kevin Stefanski. Right now, the fan base probably doesn't have a lot of faith in Kevin Stefanski, Tone. So, yeah, they're not thinking about Dylan Gabriel taking the job.
I totally get that. We're just bringing our baggage into this. That's all we're doing right now because we haven't seen anything to change any perspective other than we know the pecking order of when they were taken.
I know this conversation is going to get brought up again, and I'm going to get frustrated again. And I know that the people who just want to see something, they have no evidence. And I'm not going to have much evidence because there's only so many practices that we can attend. So now I have to put my eggs in the basket of a coaching staff that could very well be gone at the end of the year that already nobody trusts. That's a difficult argument to make. Like, it's easy to say, hey, let's just see what we have with these guys and we lose, no big deal. Absolutely. But boy, they got to go out there and earn it. We're making a lot of different mistakes. I mean, you did that with Johnny once. He didn't earn it, and boy, did he show it. 216-474-0092. Justin Termini joined us earlier today. Can the Cavs afford to run this back?
Do you think it would be a mistake for the Cavs to, quote, run it back?
I don't know if it's a mistake. I mean, they're a really good team. Eventually, perhaps you get over the hump. Three consecutive years with that four, though, you haven't won six playoff games. If there is going to be a breakup, I've talked to some people around the league. The guy that they think would be moved is Darius Garland. Can you win with a small backcourt? Can you win with his lack of defense? If the Eastern Conference is going to be weak and you know what you have at the very least in Cleveland, to run it back and at least get the one or the two seed again next year.
Do you think we can afford to run it back?
Okay, so running it back comes with a bit of a risk, right? The risk is that this chessboard changes. Right now, we're looking at everything through the lens of Boston is going to be down next year, so everything's going to be wide open. And the Knicks will be the Knicks because they don't have a ton of flexibility. The Pacers do have some flexibility, but the Pacers are going to be the Pacers. Philadelphia, nobody's taking seriously, even though they're going to try to make a move. They have some nice young players, and then who knows about Embiid being healthy.
Uh-huh.
Milwaukee, you've weakened them if you trade for Giannis, or if Giannis gets dealt to the West. But there is some risk in running it back in that if we're here a year from now having the same conversations, then it's the clock starts on Donovan Mitchell wanting out, right?
Right? Yes.
Does it not?
Yes.
If he doesn't get by the second round next year, the rest of the league is just going to assume Donovan Mitchell's not going to want to stay.
Yeah.
And it's going to start getting very loud during the following season.
I can accept all these
things.
Even
though he's never actually done that. But
I will fully accept. I think that they need to do everything they can to see if there's a move that can be made. Whether it be with the CBA. I know that the CBA and Bobby Marks is tweeting to people. And we just had him on last week, which he got the Drew Holiday conversation started. And then that one died a terrible death on Friday night.
By the way, not in real life. I think it's just with fans, it died a death. But I don't think in real life. Like, I still think the thought, and we just talked.
Oh!
Like, I'm just saying, if I brought up one player in particular.
Yeah, and then he went out and he had a bad game.
Yeah, that's all that happened.
It's not, it would be something that we get mad about if we didn't want to make that trade.
Yeah.
Because he's 34, mm-hmm. going on 35. But it would not prohibit real NBA teams that performance in game six. Against the Knicks from making a three-team trade and getting him on this
team. There are going to be some teams that are on the verge of contending that would love to have Drew Holiday. They'd love to have his toughness.
That's true. But I think that I'm okay with running it back because I think I have to accept that these are very, very, very strong trades that a lot of times just get talked about and don't get done. And I know that I'm close. We're painfully close. And it feels the worst part about it, I don't think it's a piece away as far as talent. I think it's a piece away as far as being that glue guy to be the tough enough player to help you find spacing for Donovan, Darius, and Evan Mobley. Now, if I'm talking about moving one of those guys, that seems to be a little bit easier. But the big move, yeah, man, if you could swing it, that would be the situation in Milwaukee. 216-474-0092. Can the Cavs run it back? So can they afford to run it back? I mean, I think they can. It's not like this thing has to change no matter what. I don't want to make change just for change's sake, right, because I'm mad.
Right. You never want to just make these big, bold moves where it crushes whatever flexibility you had left and then can close a window.
Uh-huh.
That's always, and you can argue, the Browns, that happened with Deshaun Watson. Did Deshaun Watson... That trade, which I thought made sense at the time, clearly wasn't. That you can make the argument that closed the window once and for all those talented guys that we had on that team.
216-474-0092. Let me get to Rick in Euclid. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Rick.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful, Rick. You go right on ahead.
Well, you know, I was saying earlier in the season that I think one of the biggest mistakes that the Cavs made was that they did not bring in another big man. They needed another big man. I hear all the people screaming about Jared Allen. Jared Allen's a good player. It's just like in the last game of the series, you know, in the first quarter, you're feeding the guy's scoring, they can't do anything about it, him and Mobley both, and then the team went away from it. Some of that is coaching. And what you have to understand is a guy like a Jared Allen, and even Evan Mobley to a certain extent, they're big men. You got to get them the ball, especially Jared. You got to feed him and let him rim run and do the whole thing like that, and that gets him engaged. And that just the game just gets better for him when you give him touches. And Indiana couldn't do anything with it. I think that was a point where Atkinson kind of didn't make the best moves. And let's face it, Rick Carlisle is a championship coach. Atkinson's a good coach, but I think he learned a lot of things in this series.
Rick, thank you very much for the call. I think you're right on just about everything you said. In fact, I think you're right on everything you said. I agree with wholeheartedly. Not that I'm right and you're wrong, but I'm getting, you know what I'm saying.
We've always wondered what type of player, what's the profile of a player that matches up with Donovan Mitchell, okay? And then what's the type of big man that matches up with Evan Mobley? Because Evan and Jared won a ton of games together. A ton of games. And have had that thing humming in the regular season. In the playoffs, it's kind of been a different story. So moving forward, it is going to be one of the challenges of Kobe Altman. And notice, he didn't mention Allen when he was talking about exciting players and what they could be. He didn't mention Jared Allen. Danny Cunningham brought that up.
Well, when do we had him on yesterday. Get away from core four. I mean, they've got to change some of the supporting cast, right?
You can't
just truly run it all back and keep those rotations the same. And, you know, I mean, we talked about in the season, like, more Dean Wade, but then he was hurt and things like that. I just don't see a world where we're giving Sam Merrill a bunch of time in the playoffs.
It's core four.
And with these guys, too, you know? If you bring in a guy that's more of a banger down low, and then now you need to stretch it out a little bit, now you can bring in some of these pieces. But like a Max Strus, does that have to change?
That term has been suspended for the offseason.
Now, core four.
Yeah, because I guarantee if they keep everybody and they're getting ready for next season, the core four is back is going to be on all over social media. And we'll be back and hopeful again, but it's just going to be a long, arduous regular season because they're going to win a bunch of games probably, and they're not going to...
The snore four.
Yeah, okay. Or the sore four, as some people were saying. I think that's where people are going to stand on it. If they do make a move, then we'll probably come up with a different nickname for them. I think they can afford to run it back. Affording to run it back, it's still a second round of the playoffs team. Now, you would contend that if you traded three first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell and you're only able to make it to the second round, that is a failure. That is a failure. I still look at Kobe Altman and say, all right, you had to do what you had to do. Just because it was a failure doesn't mean you didn't do everything you could do. I think that both those things can be true. I think there's plenty of guys that run the string out and they made every move they had to make at that time, just maybe things got unfortunate at it. You made the right move to go get Jared Allen and basically got him for nothing from the Brooklyn Nets. You made the right move to trade Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, and those picks for Donovan Mitchell. That was the right move to make. Problem is that you're stuck, but you had to win more games. You had to justify your vision. So he did that. And I don't know if there's a viable way out of this, because anytime I bring up Evan Mobley and Giannis Antetokounmpo, I got plenty of people wanting to quote Bobby Marks and saying, this is impossible, don't even bother, don't even try. Okay, then we won't try. And I'm okay with running it back, because I don't want to go and make a foolhardy decision, but we're probably just going to get the same results, and we're just going to be even angrier. And then the clock really starts ticking at the end of next year.
Yeah, I know. You know, the one thing people always do in sports is they assume their players are going to continue to get better. I do wonder, like, yeah, fine. If Darius is healthy next year, are you going to get a better Darius? And he doesn't have a real big resume come playoff time. Evan Mobley, we think, is going to continue to get better. I'll bank on that. I would bet on that. What about Donovan Mitchell? At what point does he start to go the other way? Because we've seen him hobbling at the end of these series, at the end of these seasons every year.
Minutes down.
How old is he?
28, 29, 28.
He'll be 29. 2 years. Probably by the end of when we're talking about him being in Cleveland.
He's going to be 29 next season.
Now, his usage may change with another team, but that's going to be a different animal. So I don't... Your role with him, like, this has to be highlighted. This team's got to go. They got to go. They have to get moving here over the next couple of years, or the second round of the playoffs is going to be as good as it is. And guys, I'm still shocked. I mean, the things that we were saying about him, I never thought I would see a team this good in my life ever after LeBron. And I know they're good. I know they're talented. I still think they're a more talented team. That means a better team than the Indiana Pacers. So what happened? Why did this happen? And why does it continue to happen? And I say these whys, and everybody driving around right now, you guys know the answers to all of this. It's rhetorical. But there's very few things that they can really do. And if it's a foolhardy decision to make some of these decisions, I don't want Kobe Altman to do it. I'd rather go back and lose in the second round again than do something that torpedoes this organization.
By the way, I just looked. Dwayne Wade kind of plays similar style. As Donovan Mitchell, his game started to go south around 30.
I don't want to hear that right
now. Like, he was not the high flyer. He was not as herky-jerky, change of direction. Like, that stuff started to fade.
I don't want to think about that right now.
Oh, no. Talk amongst yourselves real quick. Go.
We got two more years of this, right? Like,
well, yeah, and then, of course, he has the player option in year three.
Right.
So, obviously,
he wants to come back for that third year.
I should have just asked you. You got it. I had to look it up. If he's got the player option for year three, he'll probably be frustrated. If it continues to go like this, you know where it's going to go. You got next year. You got this year, next year. Yes, this year, next year, player option. He'll probably be frustrated. Gone. If he's gone at 31, we're moving. We're moving on. So what's the point of not making, I mean, what? Why not make a move? Well, because we need Evan Mobley to mature. Evan Mobley can mature somewhere else. Maybe Maybe him being the natural leader, because if you went to Milwaukee, he's on billboards here now, but he would be the Bucks' number one guy. If you made him the number one guy, maybe that would be good for him. Knowing that pressure's on him now, it might be a horrible thing for him. I hate to say it. He seems like a fine young man. But knowing that the pressure's on you now, it's your team now, because he's playing with Donovan.
I think he'd be fine here, but the transition from Donovan to him is not going to be an easy one.
Exactly, because Donovan's got to be willing to give that up. Is Donovan willing to give that up when when we have told Donovan for three straight years, we can't do this unless you're the leader? It's hard to trust other people, and especially when you've been with them for 3 years. Okay, now I hand the torch off to you. When they themselves have been saying that Donovan has to throw this team on his back. So it's only natural that Donovan is going to be distrusting of that. So when push comes to shove in ISO time, it's Donovan in ISO. It's not Evan in ISO. And then we're going to get left with the same results. That's why a natural separation. Donovan's here. You got Giannis in. Well, Donovan, you're a great player. You're an all-star. You ain't Giannis. Giannis, he's the captain now. And Evan goes up to Milwaukee. Hey, you guys are all good, but we're rebuilding, and here's Evan. Evan's the guy. Makes sense. Everybody's happy. We get a chance to really compete here over the next 2 years before everybody probably parts, hopefully his friends, and Evan Mobley will get his shot eventually with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's only 23 years old. What's wrong with that? Problem solved. Only if we get a championship.
Unless
but for
you
the
love
most
Evan
part.
Mobley in Cleveland.
Well, the Evan Mobley truthers, I've given you every single opportunity since the series ended, and nobody's called in screaming and yelling that we need to hold on to Evan Mobley. Has anybody noticed that, by the way? We have talked about this at certain times in three different shows. Three. Where's the Evan Mobley truthers? Where's the ones who are saying, I've called him the unicorn? Where are the people saying that we can't let go of the unicorn? Open line. Hit the buzzer. 216-474-0092. Go right on ahead. I'll play the bib thing here in a minute. Go right on ahead, guys. Hello? Where are they at? Because they ain't there for it. I got other people here who want to get into other things. I don't have any Evan Mobley people. Because you guys know in your heart of hearts, it's like, hey, it's Giannis. Giannis. That's okay. I'm not trading him for Detlef Schrempf. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Play the bib. You want to play the bib? Here's the bib. Maybe the bib. He admits that the Browns are leaving and there's more important things he feels than the Browns. Go.
There are more important priorities than the Cleveland Browns. We got to move on. They're going to Brook Park. If they go to Brook Park, God bless them. Good luck. But by hell or high water, we are going to develop a lakefront that our residents can be proud of.
Audio courtesy of Ed Gallick, Peggy Gallick, the Fox 8 I team. He was double Gallick, stood in there and answered the questions. Good
are
on
there,
the mayor.
Are there more important priorities than the Cleveland Browns?
216-474-0092.
We asked this on a sports talk radio station that happens to be great partners with the Cleveland Browns.
I think the Browns themselves would admit that our children are our future.
I think anybody doing okay for themselves that don't have to run a city or a city government would say there are no more important things than the Cleveland Browns.
But they happen to own a day of the week here in this city during the season. I mean, let's call it what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Unless you're in charge of making sure that the crime rates are low and the schools are taken care of and the potholes are filled in, then the Browns are the most important thing to you.
But there are more important things than the Browns in the city of Cleveland. He's right. Long-term everyday solutions. Long-term everyday development. Because, you know, it's hard for me to give up on, hey, you've had that stadium for 20 years. Only recently have you started to have other events there. Like when we started bringing this up, you noticed this. So we were saying, gosh, they're only open for 10 days a year for stadium stuff. And people were going, when's the last time we had monster trucks there? When's the last time we had a concert there? I mean, you just were able to start doing weddings here over the last couple of years. Other than that, there's nothing else going on. So you've had this huge footprint with 10 days a year. Now, they've been big days. But it's like, well, what about permanent residencies? What about permanent businesses being there? Why can't you do something like that? Yeah, the mayor is right. I know who butters my bread. Pro sports in Cleveland is feeds my family. And certainly feeds me.
That's how you get all your popcorns.
That's how I get my popcorns.
field day with popcorn.
Guys, they got this popcorn downstairs, and it's taken the station by storm. There are two rooms in here that have been completely swallowed in by this popcorn that they sold downstairs.
Multiple seconds,
and it's cheap. That's the thing. They're practically giving it away. That's how good this popcorn is. But it's what feeds my family. But I didn't even know that. If you could replace that, let somebody else deal with it. Let them have their cake and eat it too and all that other stuff over somewhere else. And you could put in permanent residencies that people want to buy, that people want to live in, establish property taxes, establish businesses down there, things that aren't going to go out of business in a month. And yeah, why wouldn't that be better than 10 days a year? I can understand that, but those days are big. They're probably, I have to imagine they are St. Patrick's Day, Dingus Day, the feast combined on all 10 days. Seven of the 10 days. By the end of the year, it's kind of like, this is manageable. There's some empty spots over here in the Muni lot, but you get what I'm saying. Well, we have some breaking news. Got this from Judy Batista. It's like they knew we were going to talk about it, and they decided to go, nah, you guys ain't going to talk about it. Forget it. Well, we're still going to talk about it anyway. The NFL, or I should say the Detroit Lions. You got this in front of you, Tone?
You want to play the sound?
Oh, please go right on ahead.
Breaking NFL news. Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Says, do I have a read I got to read? Or?
Nope.
Okay. Detroit withdrew its playoff reseeding proposal. They're not even going to vote on it now.
Yeah, the reseeding proposal that got a lot of people wondering about the future, the playoff format, what it would look like. Would it ultimately lead to tearing up divisions? They just withdrew it, which I guess I don't understand at all, because some other reporters had follow-ups that they didn't have the approval. They didn't have the support.
Rappaport says they don't have enough support.
Okay, so why not, first of all, just let people vote on it, see where you're at, see how much room there is, because you could always, you know, bring forth in future proposals, either tweaks or whatever. So now we have no idea who is actually into this. Second of all, where do you think the Browns would vote on this? We haven't won the division in how many years?
All of them.
Yeah. When's the last time?
86. It's been since the 80s.
So I was against this. Now, I thought it'd be interesting to see the vote. I kind of wish they didn't rescind it, so I wanted to see the vote.
I think the Browns would have to vote no, though. I understand what you're saying. It gives, for a team that hasn't won their division, why would they want a division winner to have a higher seed? Like you said, 2 years ago, they finished with a better record, even though they didn't play anybody in Week 18 against the Bengals. The Flacco year, they had a better record than the Texans. They went on the road to Houston. I think, and the way the tiebreakers worked, they could have been up to the 2 seed, I think. Especially had they played and won Week 18.
Yes, and tried to win.
And that's what, you know, I think some people were talking about. Like, well, it makes Week 17 and 18 now more important. Now you're really trying to win those games because you have a chance to improve. You aren't locked into the 5 seed.
More teams have a chance to get home field.
Yes.
Yes.
But
you'd have wild card teams that would have a chance to get home field.
I just think it kills divisions. And I think a team like the Browns, who are so rooted in, we've got the Steelers and we've got the Bengals and we've got, you know, the Ravens used to be the Browns. The Bengals were Paul Brown's creation. And the Steelers are our most hated rivals. I think all that stuff starts to go away once you don't have the division.
I feel like a politician. This bill kills divisions.
I'm fine
this
with
is
it.
A division killing bill. Oh, wow.
I'm fine with it.
Well, listen to you. Listen to you.
I get nothing out of the AFC North. I get absolutely nothing. And I
how
think,
many Barbie dolls can they have now, Tom?
Right.
Thank you very much.
Mason only has 3.
So wait a minute. You wouldn't get anything out of the Browns winning the division.
You're
a liar.
No,
you're a liar and a felon. So come on over, officer.
Of course, winning a division would be nice. Although you're just beating 3 other teams. How big of an accomplishment?
3 other teams.
You're not really though.
Your rivals.
You can go 6-0 in your division and not make the playoffs. It's still your regular season games still matter.
No. What I mean, Owen, is it's just you have a better record than 3 teams, and in our situation, they happen to be geographically linked, but in others, they're not. For other divisions, they're just random.
Like, I would assume that the NFC South, none of them want the division to go away because it's a different team every year, and usually they're one game over 500, so it doesn't matter.
I don't think that that's true. I think that if you look at the NFC East, I think they all consider themselves rivals of each other, and Dallas is in the central time zone.
Sure, but that's what I'm saying.
The NFC North, they're geographically linked with history.
There's no geographic link in the NFC East. Right, which is probably most famous of all divisions.
But I just said that they all consider themselves rivals.
But they're not geographic. It's a random.
Three of those four teams could get to within 90 minutes of each other. What are you talking about? There's no geographical link.
Dallas is in the East.
I just said that. But you didn't. That just came out of my mouth.
But you didn't explain it. There's no geographic link between Dallas.
How do I need to explain it?
Those teams in the East.
I said there's no geographical link because there's a team. Wait a minute. I said that there's no geographical link with Dallas because they're in the Central Division.
That's an oopsie.
I said there's no geographical link with Dallas because they're in the Central Division, but they all hate each other, and the other three teams are again within an hour of each other, for crying out loud. So what the hell do you mean there's no geographical link?
How about Seattle and Arizona in the NFC West?
They have been in the NFC West for a long time.
How many miles are they apart, Seattle and Arizona?
I'm sure by many.
A lot.
By the way, go ask Dalton.
Around 20 years is all they've been in the same division.
Go ask Woody Johnson, if he's willing to answer anything, about why he keeps the Dolphins around in the division. Why they wanted to not mess that up. Why the Dolphins aren't in the AFC South.
But here's my bigger point. You can still pick whatever amount of rivals. 2, 3. Play them twice. Do home and homes. Nobody's taking that away from you. But I want a larger sampling. I want a larger sampling. Because I got to tell you, I don't think people under the age of 30 care about divisions in the NFL like we did. Like,
but you
our
are
parents
obsessed
did.
With what people under 30 think. That's all you bring up is people under 30.
They're going to be the people
under 30 of this.
One day they'll be over
30. Yeah. You haven't been under 30 in like 15 years. So what the hell do you know about people under 30 except for the women you dated before you met your wife?
All right,
what the hell do you know anything about?
Ask them about how much they care about the divisions. Like, what's their big rivalry with?
I don't know how to ask your OnlyFans models that you were with about the divisions.
I think this is a bygone
Congratulations.
Era. I think you are referring to an era that made like your parents happy about, the divisions. By the way,
my mom is dead.
By the way, the divisions weren't even the divisions.
My mom's not happy about anything.
Do you remember the set? We're talking about these divisions like they've been etched in stone forever. Hello, we had the Houston Oilers in our division when I was young. So let's not act like this division, the AFC North, has been around our whole lives.
That team moved. Jacksonville Jaguars.
That team moved.
Yeah, but the Jacksonville Jaguars were in the division for a little bit.
Because there were three divisions. Now there's four, and they're more geographically linked than they used to be.
So this isn't even that historic. We've never won it. Get this out of my head. We don't need these divisions.
It's absolutely asinine.
How about we do this?
The guy who sits there.
How about we do this? Can we do something fantastical?
This is dumb.
And just pick the teams with the better records?
You're just trying to get me upset.
Can we just send the teams with the better records? And then, believe it or not,
all you're doing is trying to get me upset.
Imagine this magical world where we prioritize the teams with the better records. Imagine that weird place that we could live in. You know, like they do it in other sports. Boy, I know. Blow our minds. Why is the NFL doing this? This is so antiquated.
The guy who sits here and gets upset about Ohio State, Michigan, and other rivalries not being protected by the expansion of college football has the gall to sit there and hit on rivalries any chance he gets in other ways. But because people under 30 don't care about the rivalries anymore.
They already killed the rivalry with the playoff expansion. We just saw it
this
year.
People under 30.
That's why we have to move Ohio State,
Michigan. People under 30,
I explained that to you. That's why you move it.
Can we get Mitch is under 30. Mitch!
There are players on the Browns that didn't know the Browns were in Baltimore.
I'm here.
That's not what's that got to do with the price of fish?
Wasn't it Jarvis Landry?
It was Jarvis Landry. What does that have to do with anything?
And that was 8 years ago.
Okay, they're athletes. What do they do?
So that's what I'm saying. That rivalry means
your ass in here.
Every time Kevin Stefanski gets up there and says, that's a division win. That's a rivalry win.
You're 28.
And the players sit there and they roll their
eyes
because they don't care.
You're under
30. And they're going to be on a different team the following year because of free agency.
You're 28. You're under 30, right?
Yeah.
Do you care about divisions and do you care about rivalries in the NFL?
I like to win a division once in a while. And I like a rivalry now and then.
Boom! 28-year-old man!
But that doesn't matter.
Take that!
That
buddy
doesn't
boy.
Change. You're still.
Take that!
You're
right
still.
There.
Hold on. You're still going to have divisions. You're just killing the 14 division. And guess what? Winning an 18 division is 1,000 times more of an accomplishment, you idiots.
That's true.
Beating three other teams.
Division?
Nobody cares if you beat three other teams. It's not an accomplishment.
You know what they should do after that?
You tell Browns fans whether or not they care if they beat
they
the Bengals,
they haven't done it.
The Ravens,
they have
and
no
the
idea. They have no
you
idea. Bet,
you
done
ask a Browns
fact,
fan if they don't think
fact,
it's important
beat,
to beat a Bengals.
We beat those
Champions
teams.
Pose.
We swept Cincinnati and they went to the Super
Go
Bowl.
On the street.
How cool was that?
Drive to a bar
How
in
cool
Parma.
Was that, Browns fans?
Go to that.
Did you guys throw a parade?
Go to that Red Circle bowling alley and ask any one of those guys in Parma whether or not it's important to beat the Ravens.
Here we
the Steelers,
swept
the
Cincinnati
Bengals.
Bengals. They
Champions
went to the
pose.
Super Bowl, and nobody
Champions
in Cincinnati
pose.
Cared. I win. You lose.
No, you didn't win. You
no,
were
you
for
know
once.
What? We all lost. Cincinnati
for
won.
Once.
Cincinnati won. That's
for
who
once.
Won. Not us. We swept them that year, Ken. You already forgot.
For once
that
in his life.
That is an all-time killer
for
argument.
In the history
How
of the show's history.
I'd be
for
humiliated.
For the first time in the history of the
talking.
Show. For the first time in the history of this show, Lima was not the right one. He was just the louder one. An embarrassment.
He didn't even
An
hear.
An embarrassment
he
upon
didn't even
you.
Hear. Oh, and did he even hear the death knell to his argument?
He did not.
Because the Bengals was the death
was
knell.
Silly. It's not a death knell.
Ask the Bengals if they cared that year.
About
that,
what?
That, see, he didn't even hear that the Browns swept them and they went to the Super Bowl. It wasn't an accomplishment.
They care if they win the division.
Champions
I said, it was under
pose
the guys
for
if
the
they win the division.
Tone.